Today we will read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, which is the text for today's sermon. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. Without us you have become kings. And would that you did reign so that we might share the rule with you. For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present hour, we hunger and thirst. We are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless, and we labor working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world and refuse of all things. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. Some are arrogant, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills. And I will find out, not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod, or with love, in a spirit of gentleness?
Well, good morning again. I was planning most of this week to preach the whole of that chapter. I like to do bigger sections of scripture, but I decided a few days ago that that was impossible. At least today it's impossible. So we'll look mostly at the first seven verses and come back. I like to preach bigger sections because even as you heard Lorraine read those verses, you see how it all fits together. Paul is writing to this church he loves. This church, this young church, is acting very immaturely. They're divided. They're against one another. And we come to chapter 4, and it's the end of this opening section of his letter where he's appealing to them. He's appealing that they come together in love, that they give each other grace, that they act as they should because they have the spirit of unity. So this appeal fits together, and I believe what he does, if you look at verses 16 and 17, he calls them to imitate him. So he's lived before them as an example. He speaks of Timothy, who came to remind them of his ways in Christ, the way that he acts because of Jesus Christ. So I think as we see this, kind of the end of chapter 4, he's saying, imitate my ways in Christ that I have shown to you, that I've modeled for you. And I think we see two mindsets of Paul. First, in these first 7 verses, it's this mindset of being a steward. He is a steward. That's what I want to focus on this morning. And then the second part, verses 8 through 13, it is the mindset of really being scum, right? He says, I'm regarded as scum. We're regarded as scum in the refuse, the garbage of the world. And we'll unpack that next time we come to 1 Corinthians 4, but it's a beautiful, beautiful response to the way these Corinthians were thinking. And it's similar to the way Scott led us in the call to repentance, where they were trying to find things to elevate themselves. They wanted to become more important. And they were, if you remember last week, living according to the wisdom of this world, kind of jockeying for position. Then Paul comes and says, I'm like the scum of all things. I'm the refuse of the world. I've gone through all these trials. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. It's a completely different way of living. And it's a glorious way of living. So that'll be next time. We'll look at this section where Paul, in a sense, is okay being thought of as scum. And it really is as bad as it sounds, scum, right? He's okay if that's his reputation in the world because of all the riches that he has in Christ. But that's another sermon. So today, we'll look at verses 1 through 7. Let me pray one more time for us, and then we'll look at this. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this service where you have, through the gifts of various people, led us to see Jesus. We thank you, and we pray now as we turn to your word that you would speak to us, each of us. Help us to truly see your truth and be changed by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So this mindset of being a steward, Paul says to this young church, this is how you should think about us. This is how you should think about us, your leaders. And he uses two words in this opening verse. He says, you should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So first, this word servant, it is a unique word. It's not the word usually used for servant in the New Testament. And this word emphasizes a person's subordination to another, being under someone else's authority. So Paul is saying, this is how you should think about us. We are leaders, but we're leaders under God, under God's authority. And all leaders are in this position, following the commands, the instructions, and the guidance of their superior, who is God. So servants, this word emphasizes under God's authority. Someone else is in charge. God is the master. This is what matters most. People may disagree with the way that we lead, he's saying, but we stand under our master. We're following him. So that's servants. But then he uses the second word, stewards. We are stewards. And a steward is someone entrusted with managing the assets of another, someone else's household. So it's a similar theme to this word servant, speaking of delegated authority. But a steward is accountable to the owner. He's given a trust to manage. He's the master throws him the keys. So he's in charge, but he's still under the master. So Paul knew, as he's addressing this church, he knew that this church that he loved in Corinth, was not his baby. It was not his church. It was God's. And then specifically, the message that Paul had been given from God is not just his message. It's God's. He's a steward, he says, of the mysteries of God. So the mysteries of God, there, that phrase is referring to the good news of Jesus Christ, the life and death of Jesus for sinners, the redemption and the rescue that comes, the life-changing power of the good news of Jesus. Paul has been given this. He is a steward of this message, which is the mysteries of God. Now mystery in Scripture is not like a whodunit type mystery. right? It's something that is, it's not something that is still hidden or vague or unclear. It's something that has been made known. The mystery that has been revealed. And Paul has been given this message, and he's a steward of this powerful, powerful message. This is how you should regard us. Dear Christ, this is how you should regard us, as stewards of the mysteries of this powerful message of Jesus Christ, this life-changing, community-changing message. Paul says, I'm a steward of this. And then he goes on to verse 2. When he thinks about his role as a steward, what is important, Paul, as you think about your role as steward? Moreover, verse 2, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. So big idea, big mindset, steward. Moreover, it is required of stewards to be found faithful because they're under their master. Faithfulness. That's what's important to Paul. Faith. Moreover, it is required that stewards be found faithful. One of the most encouraging conversations I've had recently was with Pastor Fernando from our partner church in Ecuador. Suzanne and I stay with Pastor Fernando and his wife, and it's always a delightful time, as Dave said. I think it's been 6 years since we have been going. We sat down to dinner, and this, here's my Spanish version. He said this to me, Jim, solo somos mayordomos. What did I say, Brady? You don't have to translate on the spot, but solo somos mayordomos. Jim, we are just stewards. So why is that encouraging for a fellow pastor to say that? I have watched Pastor Fernando over the last 5-6 years. And we do have a friendship, a partnership even in the gospel that transcends our language barriers. And I've seen him grow in his theology. I've seen him grow as a pastor. He's a different pastor today than he was 5 years ago. But even knowing his story and how it is similar in some ways to our story, he's gone through some great difficulties. He's been disappointed in ministry. He's been wrongly accused by people in the church. People have left disappointed. There have been situations where people have left their marriages, leaders in the church left their marriages, left the faith, left the church, and some heartbreaking things that Pastor Fernando has had in ministry. But he could say to me, Jim, I've learned this. I've learned that we are just stewards. And we're called to be faithful. We don't control the outcomes. We don't control the decisions that people make. We just need to be faithful, and we can rest in that. And that is a good news. That is good news for pastors. That's a good place to be. We're stewards. We're called to be faithful. Faithful in managing the gifts we've been given. Faithful in managing the resources we've been given. The relationships we've been given. The situations we've been placed into. Faithful. We serve a master and owner. He's in charge. He's in control. We don't control the outcomes. We are just stewards. So I see three themes in these opening verses under this idea of stewardship. First, evaluation. Paul talks about evaluation, second, competition, and third, reception. So evaluation, competition, and reception. First, evaluation. Part of the problem in Corinth is that they were being overly critical and judgmental of Paul, other leaders, and each other. They had critical spirits. And they were evaluating based on the wrong standards. You remember the paradigm last week. They were evaluating people according to the wisdom of the world, which is contrary to the wisdom of God. So they had the wrong standards in their evaluation, but they also had a very critical spirit that flowed from too high of an opinion of themselves. They thought they were right. They thought they did things right. They thought they had all the wisdom. And they could look at others and evaluate them with their perfect standard of themselves. You know, over the years in ministry, I've had people tell me they have the gift of discernment. And a few times I thought, is that the gift of discernment, or is that just a really critical spirit? I think there's a fine line between the two. So Paul responds, look at verse 3. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. And he goes on, it is the Lord who judges me. It is the Lord who judges. I stand before him. He's my master. I'm a steward. I must be faithful. It is the Lord who judges me. Now, when you think about a healthy church, of course, there should be evaluation in the church. Gracious evaluation, confrontation should be a part of that, a healthy culture in a church. If we see someone caught in a sin, Jesus says, go to that person, right? He doesn't say, well, just ignore it in grace. Just look at everybody. No, he says, go and talk to them. So confrontation is a part of a healthy church. So that's not what Paul is saying here. And then when he says, I do not even judge myself, it doesn't mean he never examines his heart. He just lives as, no, there's healthy evaluation. We should have consciences that are working, that we live our lives. We feel the guilt of something we said or something we did. Our conscience convicts us and we bring it to Jesus. We repent, we confess, we look to Jesus for forgiveness and we move on trying not to do that sin again. So there's healthy evaluation, but I think Paul here is challenging this hypercritical, always evaluating of others mindset. And he's pointing them to the ultimate judge, the master, who he serves. So I think we need to think about this theme of evaluation. It's one of the factors destroying the church in Corinth. And how easy is it for us to live in this same hypercritical, always evaluating everyone else and everything else? How easy is it for us to stay in that mindset? Where we just assume we're right or have the right take on things or just have rock solid conclusions about the situations and peoples around us. How often do we live there? Paul says, we have a master, God. He knows the motives of every person's heart. And then look at verse 5. It says, don't judge too early. Don't judge too early, Paul says. God will bring all things to light. He's the one we stand before. I think our evaluations should be tinged, flavored with massive amounts of grace. Because we're not God, we don't see all things. God will bring all things to light. Massive amounts of grace as we live together, live with one another. Paul says later in this letter, love always bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's the mindset we bring into our evaluations. How often do we try to step into God's place? We must understand we are stewards under God, all of us. And we need to step back and think of our relationships, maybe with our spouse, with our friends, within the church. It's easy to move into this critical spirit where we're looking at everyone around us and everyone around us disappoints us in some way. We need this mindset of grace as we come. Fellow stewards. I mean, maybe this is just me, but are you ever in conversations? And I sometimes can speak too much, right? I say too much. You say something to me, you're like, oh, why did I make that stupid joke? It was so, right, so insensitive. Now, I don't say all that, so the other person probably just thinks, man, Jim is such an insensitive jerk, right? But they don't see my heart. They don't know. I feel so stupid. I can't believe I said it. I go home and tell my wife, and she's like, yeah, that was pretty insensitive, right? Like, but all that is going on inside me, and the other person doesn't see that. How often does that happen in our relationships where the insensitive guy says something and the other person just assumes, man, that guy doesn't care. All kinds of things. Decisions are being made in the church and one seems more legalistic in his approach and someone's over here and the conversation happens. We don't see what's going on inside. God will bring all things to light. Let us just give massive amounts of grace to one another. Because we're going to sin. We're going to misunderstand each other. We stand before the God who judges as fellow stewards. He gives us different gifts. And some are going to be stronger in certain areas. The Bible speaks of the gift of hospitality. So you're going to have people in your home, and the person who has that gift shouldn't look down on the person who doesn't have that gift. Yes, we all need to be faithful. We all need to be serving. We all need to be loving. But it's so easy for us to look down on others who maybe don't have the gifts that we have and become critical of the way they're serving or living their Christian lives. So this theme of evaluation is important. And Paul's not only talking about evaluating each other, but also of our own hearts. But he says, I do not even judge myself. Leon Morris has these comments on this. I think it's a very helpful counsel. He says this, it is of course very difficult to make an accurate assessment of one's own life. And Paul's point is that in this case, it does not matter. His own views about himself are irrelevant, as are those of anyone else. The Christian is to be judged by his master. Introspection is not the way forward. Often people think that they know exactly what their spiritual state is and just what their service of God has affected. The result may depress beyond reason or exalt beyond measure, but neither is relevant. It's not the task of the servant, of the steward, to pass such judgments, but rather to get on with the job of serving the Lord as faithful stewards of what we've been given. We can spend too much time evaluating our own lives or evaluating our ministry, and it either depresses us beyond reason, woe is me, I'm getting nothing done, I'm so ineffective, nothing's happened. It can lead us there, or maybe exalted beyond measure. I'm amazing, God has used me, the church, neither is relevant. What's our task? To be faithful as stewards serving the Lord. We can spend too much time in this place of evaluation. Now, of course, again, I'll give the caveat, it's good to examine our hearts, take one look at our hearts and then 10 looks to Christ, right? But the point here is, as we look at ourselves and we look at each other, let us understand our place, understand who is the judge, who knows all things, and just give massive amounts of grace to one another. So that's one, evaluation. Secondly, competition. And these are connected. So Paul's, working through this with them. He says in verse 6, I have applied all these things to myself and to Apollos, another leader, for your benefit. This is how we live, he's saying. We were trying to model this. So we've applied these thoughts, these themes to ourselves. This is how we act as stewards. We are living this out. Paul says, we have lived this out before you. And part of the reason we are living this out before you, these ways of Christ, is for your benefit, so that you will learn to live in this way, that you will learn to imitate us, he goes on to say. So I've applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, that you may not go beyond what is written. We've lived this way so that you may not go beyond what is written. Now, there's a lot of different thoughts about what he means when he says that you may not go beyond what is written. And it's a little unclear. The more commentaries you read, you're like, What is Paul saying? Well, I think this is what Paul is saying. He doesn't want them to live outside of Scripture. He doesn't want them to live in a way almost like without Scripture. Again, according to the wisdom of the world. He doesn't want them to step out of bounds of Scripture. So I think as we're thinking about this theme of being a steward, all that we have, the calling we've been given, the positions we've been placed in, the message we've received, this message of power, it's all our master's. So we should care about what our master says about all these things we're given to steward. We should go to the guidebook. We should go to his place of instructions. We should go to this owner's manual, you could say. He's the master. He owns it all. We're stewards. We shouldn't step outside of that. We should understand our place. And it's this whole theme of humility. Humility before our master. Don't go beyond what is written. One author stated the main theme of Scripture, this message of Jesus, places a strict limit on human pride. It checks our pride and calls for this place of dependence before God. Don't go beyond this, Corinthians. You are going beyond this. You're elevating yourselves through. You're stepping outside of the bounds of Scripture. Don't go beyond what is written. Follow our example as stewards. humbly living under God's word. So what could this look like for us? How do we live in this way? As he's talking about competition, he goes on to say that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. That none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. There's a great book, I think it was originally a sermon by Tim Keller, where he unpacks just that, basically that word puffed up, that word for pride, the freedom of self-forgetfulness, he calls it. It's a wonderful read. If you're listening on the audio at like 1.6, you can listen to like 28 minutes. So it's good to do. But that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. So what's the picture he's giving to us? Puffing themselves up, not with anything substantial, right? Puffing themselves up with air. So you can picture two people puffing themselves up with things that are not substantial, with air to make them more important than the person next to them. Getting bigger and bigger, but there's nothing inside. That none of you may step out of scripture and live this the different way, puffing yourselves up to be more important. It's the universal human mindset that we all know. Always trying to present ourselves as superior, as bigger, as better. Maybe it's intelligence, maybe it's status, possessions, personality, appearance, popularity, abilities, moral virtues, experiences, or maybe even spiritual focus, spiritual experience, all these things. We use these things because we have this desire to be bigger than others, to be more important, to be noticed. And churches as a whole can slip into this mindset. We have a better theology. We're the good church. We have a better practice. We follow scripture more. All these things, and we use these things to puff ourselves up, to become more important. But Paul says that he modeled this way for their benefit so that they wouldn't do this, puffing themselves up to be better than one another. We're stewards of grace through the work of Jesus Christ. Now we're perfectly accepted, deeply loved, and we possess all that we need so that we do not need to puff ourselves up to be more important. In Christ, we have all that we need, all the dignity we could ever ask for, so this competition should disappear. We're stewards of God's grace. This theme of competition should be off the table. We've been given these things. We've been accepted by Jesus. Competition moves to the side. So evaluation, competition, very deeply interrelated. But the message of Jesus, the powerful message of Jesus, should dispossess us of the pride and of any need to compete as we live as stewards of God's grace. So that's second, competition. Third, reception. I'm not talking about cell phone reception, but look at verse 7. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? That you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Everything you have, everything you are, and we all have a unique list of experiences, of family dynamics in our past, of gifts, of abilities, everything you have received from God as a gift from God. How does that change our interaction with one another? John Calvin wrote of this text, "No room is left for taking pride in ourselves when it is by God's grace we are what we are." So I was raised in a home, and I've thought of this recently. I was raised in a home with two parents who had a deep, deep faith in Jesus Christ. So my memories from day one, my parents loved Jesus. They were saved, end of their teenage years, a dynamic faith. So I had that modeled for me from day one throughout my upbringing. That's what I saw. Well, how does that impact me in my faith? And then I look at someone else who hasn't had that. Do I then look down on them because that they weren't raised in that same environment and they don't have that same faith? No. What do I have that I haven't received from God? Or maybe you're really good in social settings. You have a really good personality. Or maybe you have a superior intellect. Or you've been really disciplined in your life, focused in your studies, or focused in your faith. All these things. How much of it is it from influence of people around you, of your family dynamics? All these things that you had no control of. Or we can think about our health. We can think about the opportunities we've been given. What do you have that you haven't received? All is from God. That changes everything for us. This whole game of puffing ourselves up against one disappears. The way we evaluate one disappears. All that I have is from my master. I am a steward of his grace. That's what Paul's getting at here in 1 Corinthians 4. He's coming to the end of his challenge to them, calling them to unity, calling them to love. And he wants them to see this theme. I think this is a way he's modeling for them the ways of Jesus Christ, moving them away from this critical mindset of always evaluating, moving them away from this competing mindset of always needing to jockey for position, and encouraging them to see that all things are gifts from God, graciously given. And whatever we have, we are to be stewards. Stewards who are faithful to what he has given to us. So I hope you see this theme. We're not the Corinthian church. We live in a very different time, a very different place. Maybe we have different struggles, even as a church community, but we need this mindset. We need this message to affect us as individuals, in the way that we think from day to day, the way we think about ourselves, the way that we think about others. We need this mindset. I'm a steward. I'll be faithful to him. It will check the way that I think about others and check the way I think about myself. So we need it as individuals. We need it as a community. Because I think today in the American church, with churches all around us, many in this community, which is a wonderful thing, it's so easy to get slighted, to get offended by something, or to think, man, this church isn't serving me. Or this church has gone very long, an hour and a half to be exact, right? This church is this. I could go over there. It's so easy for us to be in this evaluative, critical mindset when I believe this theme leads us to just give massive amounts of grace to one another, living in love. Because Paul's desire is that the church would be a place of unity and love, where Christ is exalted and Christ is seen in the way that we love and forgive one another. So may God help us to understand this beautiful theme of we are his stewards. He is the master. And may we be faithful with this powerful message we've been given, the mysteries of God. May we live in this way, the ways of Christ, and may we model it to each other and to all around us. May God help us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for these themes. We feel our weakness and need, and pray that you would help us to live within this mindset that we are stewards. All the gifts you've given to us, all the blessings you've given to us, all the abilities come from you. The health that we have today is from you. May we live faithfully for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.